All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, June 14th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a 13-fight MMA card today. We have 8-game MLB main slate with a 3-game early slate getting underway in about like 30 minutes here, I think. We have a 3-game WNBA slate. We have round 3 golf. We have Xfinity today, Cup Race tomorrow, and then we have NHL tonight as well. So action-packed weekend. If you guys aren't signed up with us, we do have a 5-day, no strings attached, free trial. You can see details about that in the description of this video. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show here on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days, get your questions answered. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me on a Saturday afternoon or morning, depending on where you are located. But with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. We didn't have any questions until just now. So Demetrius said, good morning. Can you do MLB and MMA tutorial? Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So we do like to do 2 tutorials, 1 ultimate tutorial, 1 starter tutorial. And on Saturdays, I do like to build for some MMA. So that is right on schedule with what I had lined up today. So we're going to start with some slate demos here, and then we can answer any questions as they come in. But first thing, if we are building for MMA today, right, I have the MMA slate up here. Looks like a full card here with 1 replacement fighter. And this will do a starter tutorial for MMA. I don't think we've done one in a little while here. So with MMA, right, I would always make sure the slide, the sim diversity for sure is like on 10 here. Big 14 fight card. I think it's totally fine to use. Don't use opposing fighters. When this is turned on, correlation doesn't matter. Okay. So if the don't use opposing fighters is on, correlation slider basically at 0. It has like no effect here. All right. Just so you guys know, I like to open up min salary a little bit. I like to let the builder potentially build some lower salary lineups if they end up, you know, making their way in there. I think it's totally fine. 500 lineups. We're going to make 2 small adjustments, 2 projections, just super small, 0.01 here, 98.42. Cool. And then we're going to kick this off. So this is all I would be doing up front here. I like to use the number of fights to determine whether or not to put the rule on or not. I use like a rule of thumb where like, if there are under 10 fights, then I will leave the rule off and just let correlation do its thing. If there are 10 fights or more, I'll just turn on the rule because I think it's okay at that point. All right. Build ran. We're not going to use contest sims. We're going to go back to SaberScore. So with SaberScore, right, there's 2 options. MMA sim diversity, 10, MMA default. If your sliders are on 10, okay, your sim diversity is on 10, use sim diversity 10. If you're building for whatever reason on any lower slider, 9, 8, 7, 6, use MMA default. That's basically how these are designed, because at sim diversity 10, you get the sim optimals summary statistic. You only get this when your build is run on sim diversity 10. So when you don't build on sim diversity 10, you build on 9, you build on 8, whatever, you don't get this one, then in that case, you want to use the MMA default, because this will just use the percentiles, right? So that's like the big difference here, is like sim optimals, yes or no. If yes, use sim diversity 10. If no, use the other. So now that we're here, let's turn off this ROI, aggregate metric. All right, so we're sorting correctly here. Say we're building 20 lineups. I got an average projection aggregate metric. I'm sorting my exposure here. Getting some like pretty high leverages here, you know. looks like most of our leverage is on like the top value fighters here. It's like, that's not like a terrible thing. But these leverages are like still a little high, like for me personally here. So what I would do is I would scroll down to the last lineup in my set of 20. And then I would probably start with my uniques here. Okay, so I'm going to change the uniques. This is going to have a much bigger impact on your aggregate metrics, like for sure. So like for like average projection, right, this goes 426 and it was at like 431. So like one simple change drops us like 5 points here. So we do want to be like a little bit more careful with this, right? There is probably an opportunity here to use more max exposures so you're not changing so many fighters on the slate all at once here. But so like we get to like two uniques. Okay, I still have like kind of some high leverages. Maybe try three, just like see what happens. I don't know if I like love three here because now we're down like 12 points in projection. So like I would probably go two, and then I would see like if I wanted to bring these down a little bit more, what a max exposure does, right? Like, okay, I'm going to set this max exposure to 70%. And notice it works. And then notice that, you know, now I only dropped like 1 point in projection by doing that, right? So like all of my top leverages are around like 30%. All of my top exposures are in this like 70% range. I would probably be fine with that. But you just have to kind of understand like, okay, what am I trying to accomplish, right? Okay, I'm trying to diversify. Okay, sure. But, you know, maybe you're like, I really just like don't like this like one person. Okay, then like just change them and don't try and indirectly change them. And then you might actually end up saving more like projection ROI in your lineups, right? So here I did a small change with the uniques and then I made the one max exposure change. That's the way I think it's like best to do this, where you let uniques solve most of the puzzle, right? You let it get you 95% of the way there. And then you do like that last 5% kind of manually, right? So like if you're going in and you have to change, you know, 10 to 20 exposures, like that's probably way too many, right? Try a different route first. And then maybe you end up having to change, you know, two or three, right? I think like that's like the best way to do it. All right. Question while we're on this topic, John was asking, same applies with Ultimate. I think this is with regard to Saber score. So with this Saber score, right, you're never going to, well, I wouldn't recommend using Saber score if you have access to contest sims on Ultimate. So like Saber score is more of like the 80-20 of contest sims. Like we used contest sims to backtest different variable combinations, different weights to figure out what variables at what weight make the most sense to grade lineups with, right? So difference here is that Saber score casts this like really wide like umbrella where it like groups all these contests kind of together. But contest sims, every contest is different, right? Every contest you're using exact number of entries, exact percent of first, exact cashing rate, right? So it's like hyper specific, and like every contest effectively is like a different sorting metric rather than having one for like all of these contests kind of combined. So that's like the big difference there. That's why contest sims are better, because that specificity, but Saber score is like for sure the 80-20 of it. All right, so getting back to this demo, this feels like pretty good. You know, one thing I might add here is just like an average salary. So we're using a lot of salary, right, in these lineups. You do want to be a little bit conscious of this just because with MMA, you know, you have to be mindful of how duplicated your lineups are going to be, right? Because like, you know, say it's like 10,000 of first. Okay, well, if two people have the same lineup, you know, you get 5,000 each. That's great, right? But what if 20 people have the same lineup? Well, now, you know, your 5,000 goes down to 500, right? And it's already hard enough to build a winning lineup. But like when we do build a winning lineup, we want to get paid for that, right? So What I would do here, and maybe I should have done this a little bit sooner, but we just started talking about like exposures and stuff, is maybe just like apply some type of filter here. You know, it could be as simple, right? You don't have to get crazy with this. It could be as simple as like a some ownership filter where, hey, show me lineups with ownership less than X, right? We're just going to cut out some of the highest owned lineups, and that didn't have an effect. Another thing you could do here, you could drag this out. That way you could just see it a little bit easier. It's like, okay, our 238 didn't really do anything. What about 200? Okay, well, at some ownership of 200, now we start to see some change, right? Okay, cool. So I'm trying to get rid of like 50 to 100-ish lineups here. So I'm going to drop a little bit more. Try it one more time, 190. Cool. So 190 is like right in that range, right? Probably like 15% of our lineups in the trash. We're just trying to cut out like some of the top lineups here. That we think are going to be highly duplicated. So we do this small change. You know, you can do product ownership as well, right? I'm just showing like a very simple version of this where you're trying to account for duplication. And then basically what I would do is like review my lineups after the contest, see how my duplication is looking, and then figure out, hey, do I need to be more aggressive, right? And then if I want to be more aggressive, I could go and try product ownership. I could try salary adjustments, right? There's like a number of different things that you can do. We do have a good video on some ownership versus product ownership. It's this how do ownership, product, and ownership geometric mean work. I'll drop this here in the chat. It's a good video. Check out. But for now, we're just going to do the sum own one, right? Okay, so we apply our sum own. Notice how this actually ended up flattening our exposures, right? Because I set uniques back to one. I turned off the max exposure. So it seems like some of those lineups and some of those exposures we're getting were like too high owned, high-owned fights, high-owned fighters. So this actually ends up helping flatten our exposures, which is kind of cool, right? Now I don't really feel the need to make any changes, right? So notice though, right, our projection is a little bit lower than where we started. So by sacrificing some ownership or sacrificing some projection, it's a little bit of a balance, you know. Probably like the higher projected lineups might be like a little bit chalkier, cashier, more likely to be duplicated. So we're taking a risk here, playing some lower projected lineups, but we're doing that at the sake of hopefully trying to find a balance between win rate and duplication rate. So that's where we end up here. I think it's okay at the end of the day, but all in all, I'd be happy with these lineups. I like the way they look right out of the gate here. And I would be ready to save these and upload them to my contests. All right. Nice start to the show with a little MMA demo. We're going to jump over to the MLB streets. And we're going to check out the upcoming baseball slate. All right. So, for baseball, I've noticed in post-contest sims that max salary being a little bit higher does help. So I'm going to boost a little bit here to 49K. I'm just going to make two minor adjustments to projections. I'm going to turn on the don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule here. And that's it. I'm going to send this off. So we will use contest sims for this one. I'm just going to use the default contest sim. While this builds, good opportunity to jump over to the contest tab and just upload your entry file. But let's let this run. Golf round three today. Going to be pretty interesting to see if some big names can make a run at the leaderboard here. Tournament still feels like pretty wide open if you guys are like following it. You know, I mean, this course has played like super, super tough. So I'm very interested to see if anybody or who really is going to make a push here and climb up the standings. Looks like Corey Connors is having a good start to the afternoon, minus three already. All right. Lineups are finishing up here, so we're going to get into the post build right now. And contest sim auto kicks off here because I have this toggle on, which saves you a little bit of time. So let's let that run. I'm going to turn this salary one off. I'm going to sort by exposure. and let's let our contest sim finish. It should auto change our sorting metric, which it does, which is great. All right, I'm going to go turn on an ROI aggregate metric. So this is one I've been talking about a little bit more in support with like just some stuff we've been doing. It's just always turning on an ROI greater than zero filter. You know, it really helps to just have that like security blanket that like, hey, no matter how many changes I make or whatever, that I'm never going to be playing negative ROI lineups. So let's say I'm building 150 for this. Okay, I put on my ROI filter. My ROI filter moves 1,700 lineups to the trash. It's about like 30%. And now I've left about 3,300 lineups to analyze here, right? So cool. So I have my filter on. I have my aggregate metrics sorting correctly, sorting my exposure. I am getting some high leverages here. So out of the gate, me personally, I've noticed that if I go from like 1 to 5 uniques, I get good diversification and I don't sacrifice projection too much. So you can't go one at a time. But usually if I get to 5, that's like a fine starting point. So here I have 143 players in my player pool. My top exposures or my top leverages are like 40%. So I'm going to jump to 5. So I was at 99.8, I think, 99.8 projection. And I was at 145 ROI. So going to 5, I go down to 98.5, so like 1.3. And then I go down about 30% ROI from where I started. But my leverages and my exposures are a lot flatter, right? My top exposure is 65%. And my top 4 exposures actually are all to pitchers. And I don't have any batter above 17%. So like I go to my batters. Right. Okay. I'm getting a few double digit leverages, but I'm like really spread out here. Right. So like, this is like good in my opinion. And then the other thing that I noticed, actually I want one is that at 1, I have 143 players. And then at 5, how many players do I have? I have 152. So I didn't actually add that many players to the player pool. I only added 9, right? But what we did is we, you know, spread out the exposures, right? So I think that's like the interesting thing here. It's like, hey, we're not just like adding in a bunch of players. Like we're using the players in kind of a different way here, right? So 5 feels really good for the batters. I really like that. And then the pitchers taking a few stands, but on like some of the best pitchers, like Strider seems like the best value pitcher here. We're getting to a lot of him. DeGrom is like another high value at 2.17. So we're getting high exposures to, one, they are high owned, right? So we're not actually getting that much leverage. They have a high pool percentage and then they have a really good value, right? And then the other thing is that you see like the pool exposure for like Strider and DeGrom is like 40%+. Well, the batters, you know, their pool exposures are, you know, single digit, lower double digits, like nobody over 14% pool exposure, right? So kind of tracks like that we're getting lower exposures here and then higher exposures with the pitchers. That's like pretty normal in baseball. So I kind of like this, you know, the way it is right now. I could continue to tinker and adjust if I felt like it, but I think that just like the one simple change from 1 to 5 uniques, not losing too much projection, losing some ROI, but I was okay with like the amount that we sacrificed here. And now my exposures look flatter and I'm like really happy with like how my lineups are looking. So this feels really good. John asked an interesting question. Confused why we wouldn't play negative ROI lineups trying to find outliers. Not like we expect 150 or 150 to cash. I feel like if we had a statistical distribution chart of 150 data points that included high positive outliers, it's also include negative outliers. So the thinking here, in my opinion, is that, you know, the sample size, like the contest sim, like has really kind of like flattens out the results, right? Like we're running it 100,000 times. In the past, we actually used to run it less. I think at one point, we were running it like 20,000 times. And then our like data team was like, it's like not enough. You know, there's too much variance like in the results. And then I think we bumped it up to like 50,000. And then even then the team was like, you know, it's better, but it's like not enough. And like now we run the contest sim like 100,000 times. And like in our back testing, it's shown that like the results are like track a lot better and are a lot more consistent when you run it like 100,000 times. So, you know, with DFS, right, the kind of line of thinking is like, you want to like make the right decision. And if you make the right decision enough times over the long run, like you're going to get paid for that, right? So the way I think about it is, because I have like a poker background, is more like, okay, I, you know, 7-2 is like the worst hand in like No Limit Texas Hold'em for anybody like not familiar. You know, that doesn't mean like it never wins, right? But it just means like if you do it, if you play it over and over and over again, then like over the long term, like you will lose money, but like you might play it and like you might win, right? You can get two pair, you can get like a one card straight, you can get three of a kind, full house, right? Like you can get a flush, like all those things happen. And like, it does win some amount of the time. So like, even when we go back and like, look at like contests, like from yesterday, and then we see like, oh, a negative ROI lineup won. It's like, yeah, you know, that does happen, but even negative ROI lineups have a win rate in the sim, right? So they're winning some amount of the time, but they're not like always winning, or they don't win enough over like the big sample where Saberson thinks like this is a good lineup to play. Cause like law of large numbers, everything moves closer to the mean, right? Like I could flip a coin 10 times. It's not going to be 50-50 every time, right? It'll be 7-3, might be 6-4, might be 8-2. But if I flip the coin 1,000 times, 100,000 times, I'm going to move closer and closer to like 50-50, right? That's kind of like the game we're playing here. That's why we always say DFS is like a marathon, not a sprint. So we don't recommend playing negative ROI lineups. And just like on the 150 point, you know, you should like never expect like 150 out of 150 to cash, right? I think people kind of underestimate just how many lineups are not going to cash, right? Because like cashing rates in contests are like 20%, right? So if you're playing 20 lineups, your average outcome is that 4 lineups cash, right? I mean, 16 are like dead, right? 16 did not cash. So then you multiply that by like 150, now all of a sudden 30 lineups cash, or you use 150 instead, you know, 30 lineups are cashing 120 or not, right? On average. So I also think it's like really hard. I would be shocked to see anybody is building 150 positive ROI lineups like in the post contest sim, just because actual lineups vary a little bit from like projected lineups and things like that. So even that is like an incredibly hard task. But if, you know, overall, right, if when you look like on like a user level, like, hey, are you positive ROI in the sim? It means like, are you building more positive ROI lineups than negative ROI lineups? You know, and if you're doing that, then you're like for sure on the right track. Jimmy said, can you do a demo build for today's MMA? We actually started the show with an MMA demo. So we did an MMA demo and then we jumped over to MLB. So I would just go back to the beginning of the show. It was the very first thing that we did, talked MMA for like a good, like, 10 to 15 minutes there. Cool. So talk some MMA, talk some MLB. Looks like we're caught up with questions here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back on Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.